Comicpalooza 2016 is almost here. At Comicpalooza, there are literally thousands of hours of programming. You'll see your favorite celebrities, comic book creators, and authors. Special celebrity events at this year's Comicpalooza include a cast reunion of the classic 1986 sci-fi horror favorite, Aliens, featuring Sigourney Weaver and more. Also, the cast of the Boondock Saints will be in attendance, including Sean Patrick Flannery, and of course, Walking Dead star Norman Reedus. Other celebrity guests include Underworld star Kate Beckinsale, Lenny James from The Walking Dead, wrestling superstar Ric Flair, comic book legends John Ostrander and Adam Kubert, and of course, me, Ming Chen from AMC's comic book band and podcaster extraordinaire. Be sure to follow Comicpalooza on social media, on Twitter at Comicpalooza, Instagram at Houston Comicpalooza, and like us on Facebook. Don't miss Comicpalooza 2016 at the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, Texas, June 17th through June 19th. Get your passes today. Head over to www.comicpalooza.com for all the details.
Alfonso Berry, listen to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
This is Walker Simonson. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 52 of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is your host, Mark, hanging out in the Hazil. With me is
Frank T. Monkey.
Mark and Matt, the Electric Boogaloo.
Y'all just want to be each other, don't y'all? Yeah, you always switch names.
We will switch. It'll be like Freaky Friday or Freaky
or Face Off.
Mark has point. Let's do Face Off, where our body sizes don't match at all. I'm taller and fatter and better looking.
Well, that's a whole other conversation. But here we are. We're 7 days. Well, no, it's 5 days away now from Comicpalooza 2016.
It's upon us.
The Rebel Radio Podcast is, of course, part of the podcast partnership program. We've been playing the commercial before the beginning of every show, as you just heard, and we're super excited. We're going to be previewing Comicpalooza for you on this show, but a few things to talk about before we get into the meat of the show.
No spanking.
Make sure you go to trustmeimajedi.com. That's where you can find the Rebel Radio Podcast, news updates, everything that's happening in the world of geekdom lately. I try to update the site as frequently as I can. We got you covered on Wednesdays with a weekly comic book cover, which is a favorite section of all of ours that we like to bring y'all. And so that's going on. TrustMemoJedi.com. Make sure you're following us on Facebook, Twitter, and all those good things. And real quick, I got to plug a new thing I'm doing on the side. Still part of the Jedi family, but it's also kind of its own vibe, and that's called Duel of the Nerds. DuelOfTheNerds.com is now live. The first episode of the new show is coming in July. There will be an announcement this week about the premiere date. And I'm doing that with the evil Dr. Tran over from the Warp Cave show. And it's something new we're bringing to you, a little different than Rebel Radio and the Warp Cave. And be looking for that soon. And I won't plug it too much, but DuelOfTheNerds.com live now. There's some viral fun on the site just up there for to have a little fun with until we get it completely going.
See, I noticed that you're going to have the evil Dr. Tran on there. And it's called Duel of the Nerds. Now, Matt and I, we're geeks. Nerds are smart. Geeks are just like geeks, right? So that's why we're not on there?
They're kind of one and the same.
No, they're a little different.
What about a Super Saiyan nerd? Is that better than your average nerd? And if they can go Super Saiyan 3 nerd? I mean, what about that?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't either.
Frank knows. Frank knows. Mark, he's in the dark.
So then would be like, you know,
it's a level beyond a regular nerd, but, you know.
Now you're just a dork.
Okay.
A couple of news briefs to talk about before we get into our Comicpalooza preview. And we're also going to be talking about Aliens and the 30th anniversary. Of course, the cast is reuniting at Comicpalooza. And we're going to talk about some of our favorite Alien, not so much Alien movies as far as that franchise, but our favorite movies that feature aliens overall.
Right.
But before we get into that, they announced this week that Batman the Killing Joke is going to have a theatrical one-day screening. And everyone was kind of hoping for this, and I guess someone out there listened, maybe someone at Warner Brothers, and we put up the details on TrustMeOnTheJedi.com. the tickets go on sale this Friday. The three of us, I think, are going to try to attempt to go. I think definitely.
Yes.
The screenings are going to be July 25th across the country. It's a Monday night. They're going to have 7:30 and 10:30 showings. There's no theater listings up yet, but they'll be up this Friday when tickets go on sale. And, you know, the DC animated films have been very cool, very exciting. We all agree we've enjoyed most of them. And if there's one that feels like that it's a little different than the rest and deserves a theatrical screening, seems like it's this one because it's rated R, definitely more adult, very popular book that's being adapted.
And Mark Hamill's coming.
Mark Hamill's in it. Kevin Conroy's playing Batman. So an opportunity to see on the big screen. Kind of exciting.
It is exciting. It's cool to see our 90s animated film actor, you know, voice actors coming back. And it's awesome that Mark Hamill had time to do it with Star Wars going on.
Is it wrong with me? Because I've always been kind of a Marvel, like, fanboy mm-hmm. for the most part and everything. But when I started watching the DC animated stuff, I am a DC animated fanboy.
They have
I
Marvel mean, on the animation. Easily.
Yeah, they do. When it comes to their animated stuff, they are their shows are just their
Marvel's done some enjoyable so stuff with the DC Disney XD stuff they've done. Some of it's enjoyable, but still not level we would like it to be.
Yeah, I still credit Wonder Woman's animated movie for being like the first really hardcore out of them. I mean, it's mild compared to like now, but before all of that. The Marvel stuff and anything else, the violent level and the actual way it was done was like impressive to me mm-hmm. at the time.
We might have to do a whole episode one day of our favorite DC animated films and kind of rank them, or maybe rank our top 10.
If Marvel has DC on,
maybe
the
around
movies,
the time, maybe around the time the Killing Joke comes out here next month.
Oh, and you know what's funny is I watched Flashpoint. And then at the final episode of The Flash,
yeah,
almost feels like it's going to lead into doing something.
We talked
like
about
that.
The Flash last episode when you were on your walkabout.
Well,
you know, so
it is what it is.
You were taking a long poop.
Yeah, my poop about.
Poop about.
So Batman the Killing Joke is hitting theaters, and another popular animated film just got announced as coming to Blu-ray. Never been released before on Blu-ray in the United States, and that is Transformers The Movie. Not the Michael Bay film from 2002.
But the animated one.
The animated Transformers film where Optimus dies and heart broke all of our little 10-year-old hearts when we first saw it. Because we're like, no!
No, I didn't get to see that. And the season started up after the movie because our parents wanted to take us because they didn't want to sit through a kid's film. And the next season of Transformers started up, and we're like, where the hell are all our Transformers at? There's like a bunch of new Transformers.
They confused Frank.
Yeah, my cousin and I were like, what the hell's going on? And then they came out on tape. Yes, tape. Not DVD, not digital download or Blu-ray, but tape. That's how old I am. And
old fucker.
And then we sat there, we watched it, and we cried. It was like, no, what the hell?
You've seen Transformers the movie by now, Matt. I know you came out before you were born.
When I came out, the Transformers that were on TV was Transformers Beast Wars, which I did like, but it was different.
Old fucker, young fucker.
And here I am, as old as I am, and I popped in the DVD myself a few weeks back, mm-hmm. and when You Got the Touch comes on, and before the battle scene, it kind of
please
like
don't
still
tell us you dance your underwear.
No, it gets a lump in my throat because I know what's coming. I know that scene's coming where Optimus gets killed, and it still chokes me up.
It's coming all right in his throat.
Man, you two are sad. You know that?
You know, there was another Transformers cartoon that came out like around like the late 90s and 2000s. It was, and Sam, he had like a robot suit and this badass like Transformer sword. So where he could actually take on Decepticons.
Yeah, no, I saw that one. Where they gave him his
talk
own
about
outfit.
That too, man.
Was that like Transformers Energon or something? I don't know.
Yeah, Transformers Energon. Yeah. Where they're searching for different Energon.
I mean, so many
sources.
Different versions. It's like different versions.
But
of
I like Beast Wars.
Yeah, Beast Wars. Good. Like different version of Voltron. The new Voltron just hit Netflix. I haven't had a chance to sit down.
Check that out.
I was about
and watch
to watch
it, yet,
it yesterday,
but I will. But so Transformers movie coming out on Blu-ray in September. It's been released in Europe and overseas on Blu-ray, but never in America. And rumor is that this is from an original 35mm print from a Japanese laser disc, which is one of the best versions of the film out there, because the film itself wasn't archived well, because in the 80s they weren't archiving, especially a film that didn't do well at the box office wasn't archived as well. Now everything's digital, they can archive films immediately.
And why I'll never get a copy of Rad on DVD.
Yeah.
When all these other crappy, horrible, horrible, crappy movies compare, hey, you get Blu-ray.
Yeah. No, I agree. There's a lot of films that, I mean, like, I didn't realize until the other day, just not to get off topic, but Kevin Costner's Open Range. very good Western from a few years ago that kind of went under the radar, and it's not even available on Blu-ray, and it's a modern film. I mean, Open Range is only 10 years old, and you can't even get it on Blu-ray yet. That's really strange. Because I was looking, I was like, man, it was on TV, and I'm like, man, I need to own this on Blu-ray. Went on Amazon.com, not available on Blu-ray. But we'll notify you if it ever becomes available. I'm like, well, that doesn't do me any good.
Yeah, but you can pay for it now.
Exactly. So, Transformers movie coming out on Blu-ray, and that's a must-buy, I think.
Yes, it is.
You know, especially original print and all that. And I think that's all we have on News Briefs. This is kind of slow. It's kind of slow right now. It's that calm before the storm. San Diego Comic-Con is next month. A lot of news will be hitting. You know, then some studios are backing out, so we'll see how much news we get. I'm expecting possibly an Episode 8 title.
Wow.
I think that'd be good. Since Rian Johnson, Lucasfilm did say that Star Wars will be at Comic-Con. And, you know, a year and a half before the movie comes out, it's about the right time. The production is fixing to wrap. I think they have like a week left of shooting. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we get an Episode 8 title.
I already know what it is.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What
the
is
Force
it?
Goes Chew- back to sleep?
No. He goes back to sleep. No. Chewie strikes back.
Chewie strikes back?
Yeah, he's all pissed
that
off.
That would be awesome. Chewbacca strikes back.
Yes. The Revenge of the Wookiee.
We'll have to ask Peter Mayhew at Compalooza. Hey, man, what's the title? Is it Chewbacca's? Even though, you know, he's only on set now. I don't even know if he's in Episode 8, because, you know, he doesn't walk well anymore.
Right.
And most of the suit, a lot of people don't know this, Episode 7, you know, most of the scenes weren't him. It wasn't, they kind of kept that secret until the movie came out. But if you go on IMDb, it's a different actor with a very hard name to say. Actually, he did most of the action scenes. Most of the scenes that Peter Mayhew were in Episode 7 were if he was just standing next to Harrison Ford.
Which is understandable. Which is standing scenes. We've met the guy
a few times. Yeah, it was more of an honorable thing for him to be in Episode 7. Because you know, he's very tall. He's much older now. He just doesn't walk as well. Mm-hmm. You know, and all respect to Peter Mayhew for bringing Chewbacca to the screen.
What if it's the woman in the Chewbacca mask?
What if they had her? Maybe, dude, or they'd
be okay, I'm so sick of that bitch. Okay,
no, why's that bitch?
Dude, all right, man, you're gonna get no.
Fun.
You're gonna get me going now. Okay, people on my Facebook already know how much I fucking can't stand her. Yes.
Why
on the Comicpalooza?
That's why I mentioned
for
it.
People that listen to the show know I'm on Comicpalooza staff. And JJ, one of the guys I work with at Compalooza, put on there, hey, we should get her. And he even tagged me saying, I can see Mark cringing in pain. I'm like, yes, please don't.
But why do you hate her?
It's not that funny. Okay? She puts on a stupid mask. My wife agrees with me with this. She starts this annoying laugh, ha, 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 whatever the fuck
okay,
it was.
Maybe that's the way she laughs.
Dude, okay, I have no problem with her joy, okay? I'm glad Star Wars brings joy to her. It brings joy to me, okay? But in 5 minutes in the video, I wanted to punch her and take the little mask off her face and say, quit laughing. It's not that funny, woman. Okay? And now she's claiming 15 minutes of fame. She got all this free shit from Kohl's. What makes her any different than you or I, if we put a Chewbacca mask on and goes viral? And then she says she gave some of it to charity. If you read the fine print in the article, she gave a portion to charity, which means that bitch still pocketed almost $500,000
what
in
part of
shit.
Some? Some you know, is partial.
I bet. You know what? I bet she donated the scholarships that she was given by Kohl's. I bet, because her kids were already grown, I think.
No, she has little ones. They're like four and
still,
six or whatever.
Why should her kids get fucking scholarships to school? Why can't my kids have them?
Because you weren't smart enough to buy a damn Darth Vader mask and laugh like a dork and record it.
The bitch is annoying. And then what's funny is Dallas Comic Con had her there, and she was selling selfies for $40. Fuck that.
$40, yeah. Really?
Well, you know what? If people are stupid enough to pay $40, then good for them.
And they put her next to Jackie Gleason, or was his name Jackie Gleason? No.
Jackie Gleason? What?
What's the guy? The kid's name in Game of Thrones? It's something Gleason. I mean, I probably have his name wrong. And, like, there's, like, no one at her table, and she's hardly even at... They said she was hardly at the table most of the weekend.
Well, no, because she's probably off meeting the celebrities.
And everyone was there at Gleason's table for Game of Thrones.
Wow.
It's crazy. Screw her. Her 15 minutes long should have been over.
Jealous.
No, I'm not jealous. Annoyed.
You're jealous.
You know, I don't give a shit, okay? Because I'm cooler than her sometimes.
Did you watch the Astros game yesterday?
No, I wasn't home. I was buying a car.
Okay, well, Tampa Bay, the Astros were playing Tampa Bay Rays. And it happened to be Star Wars night over there. And guess who threw out the first pitch?
That bitch.
Yes, she did. She did. She threw out the first pitch. with Chewbacca. You
know, speaking of, that's a good segue into Compalooza because starts Friday, and on Friday at the Astros game, it's Star Wars Day at the Astros game.
You're right.
And I hope they don't have that fat bitch there at fucking Compalooza. I don't think she. I don't think she.
Well, she's going to be there. I'm going to be like, Mark Neiser wants a photo shoot with you.
I'm going to interview her and tell her all the stuff you said.
It's like, this is hit. This is his click
on
Twitter.
Then I'm going to have her say, I listen to Rebel Radio.
No, there's no fucking way she'll ever be on Rebel Radio.
and then do her laugh.
God damn it. Anyway.
We just like firing our host up. That's what we're doing.
Screw that bitch.
His panties up, bunched up.
My dad always told me it's always better with the little fire in the pit.
I think it was all a viral marketing thing by Kohl's. I mean, fuck, dude. They sold out of the mask instantly. Amazon, Target, Walmart.com all sold out of it instantly.
Yeah.
It was a scheme between Hasbro and Kohl's.
I wonder.
Yes. It was a fucking conspiracy. You got me cussing all in air today. God damn that fucking Chewbacca bitch.
Am I at a Jesse Ventura show?
Anyway.
I'm Jesse Ventura.
So let's review. Let's get into Compalooza 2016. Here we are a few days away for the show. Super excited. You know, I love Compalooza, my hometown show. Yes, I'm part of it because I'm their blogger, so I do some staff work for them. I'm going to be helping out with social media this weekend. Look for us at the show. Matt is going to be wearing his Hawkeye costume.
Heck yeah.
Frank will be there with us too, just being Frank.
And, I don't have a costume, and I was like,
Matt, Michael will be there too, my son. He'll be there.
As Spider-Man.
Okay.
Spider-Man.
And,
you know what's funny is, I went to Turtles, and I saw a little kid about 5 years old dressed up like a turtle. It was awesome.
And
nice.
Yeah, Matt, you didn't see the movies yet.
Man,
you
I
suck.
Have.
We'll talk about the Turtles and X-Men here in a little while. Do a quick review of them. But,
we'll spoil alert the crap out
you
of
know,
him.
Probably.
So Compalooza, we're going to have a sign up that's going to say Rebel Radio, and if you're in cosplay, come stand with it and hold it, and we'll put, like, I listen to Rebel Radio, we'll put you on our social media. That's part of our plan. So Compalooza 2016, what are some things you are looking forward to? I mean, the big one for me is the Aliens panel. I'm looking forward to hearing the Aliens cast talk about 30 years since the film. Anything y'all looking forward to specifically?
T-1000 and Kate Beckinsale.
T-1000?
Yeah.
T-1000.
He's in Aliens.
No,
sorry, I'm thinking it's Kyle Reese.
Kyle Reese?
It threw me off because I was watching Terminator 2 today.
Dork.
Sorry. I didn't have... Yeah.
You know what I'm looking forward to? Wait, no, that's The Walking that I'm not looking forward to.
Lots of walking in Compalooza. Compalooza is a huge convention. Takes up the entire George R. Brown Convention Center, and it's the bottom floor is the floor is the dealers and comic artists and celebrities. Mm-hmm. Panels are on the top floor. The middle floor is usually registration, things like that. So it's a huge con for people that haven't been. And Kate Beckinsale, definitely. Kyle Reese, seeing them. Me and Frank got to meet Kyle Reese briefly. Michael Biehn, of course, is his real name. About 3 years ago, we had him at Compalooza. Went up and talked to him for a few minutes, took a picture with him.
Pretty cool.
And he was a pretty nice guy. Sigourney Weaver, of course, is there. Ripley herself. Dominic Cooper. And recently they announced Michael Rooker. I think he's really cool. I wonder how Michael Rooker will be, if he'll be approachable. He seems like a really cool guy. Of course, he'll be there. Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead, and Lenny James from The Walking Dead also. Sean Patrick Flannery, who was Norman's co-star in The Boondock Saints, along with David De La Roca and Clifton Collins Jr. Clifton Collins Jr. was in Boondock Saints too, so he's sort of there by default. He's in the film that no one liked. You know, everyone liked the first one. The second one is kind of like, I mean, let's just be honest, Boondock Saints 2 kind of sucked.
It really did.
Compared to the first one, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing's going to ever beat splattering a cat across a wall by accident.
Or whenever he puts his hand on her tit and she's like, what does he say? He says something funny. It's like, I didn't do it or something. Yeah, Boondock Saints 1 is a very, very cool movie. It still holds up pretty well. And it came out of nowhere. It only played in theaters for like 2 weeks. No one went and saw it. And it found a home on DVD. You know, it started in Saturday Cinemax or whatever.
Well, you know why no one saw it.
It's kind of like,
right?
One of those Equilibrium movies that, yeah. You know.
You know why no one saw it, right? Columbine.
Well, that was one rumor.
Yeah.
That was a rumor that the studio never confirmed, okay? The word was that the director, I can't think of his name off the top of my head right now, he said that in interviews. There's a lot of controversy about him, okay? There was a whole documentary talking about what an asshole he was in set and about the making of the Boondock Saints. And in a lot of interviews, he would say, oh, well, the studio was pissed off. They didn't want to release the movie because of Columbine. But yet The Matrix got released and all this. And he went back and forth with the studio.
Troy Duffy.
The studio has said, no, that's not true. We didn't think the film was that good. We didn't know how to sell the film. And honestly, the studio is probably right. The film found a home on video. But I honestly think in theaters, would the film have done well? Probably not. It didn't have any big stars in it. Sean Patrick Flanagan, Norman Reedus, no one knew how it was. It would have been sold. You imagine the trailers. It was sold as kind of a monster revenge flick, because I've seen the trailers for it.
Basically an indie movie, which holds 2 weeks.
It would have come out. It might have made a little more money, but you're talking maybe a $30 million film. It would have had a small box office, even if it was widely released. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Troy Duffy changed anything by complaining about the studio.
Other than getting on their bad side.
Yeah, and then, you know, and then he'd made Boondock 2 because the film became so successful, and they didn't give him as much money. It was a lower budget. And so there's a lot of controversy behind the truth to Boondock Saints and whether it was really not released because of Columbine or because of the studio didn't think it was a very good film. And who knows, you know, because studios have never before, yes, they've delayed films because of tragic events. Like after 9/11, a lot of movies were delayed.
Oh, yeah. Spider-Man.
They changed the trailers for Spider-Man. It wasn't so much it was delayed.
With the two towers.
But films generally aren't not released because of a tragic event. Mm-hmm. And so there's probably, I kind of lean towards the Warner, or I think it was Warner Brothers was putting out Boondock eventually, or maybe 20th Century Fox. I kind of lean towards them really just believing they didn't have a very good film on their hands. And Boondock Saints, I know a lot of people really hate the film because it is kind of, it shouldn't be a good film. It shouldn't be a cult hit. It's an okay movie at best, but there's something about the Boondock Saints that just found an audience and it resonated with a lot of people our age, I think, when it came out. You know, I just think the idea of, like, you know, it's not so much a superhero film. It's like, oh, man, if we could do stuff to help our neighborhoods or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about Boondock. And it's just kind of a fun film, too. I mean, he drops a sink on a dude.
Yeah,
after
dude.
Escaping.
That's
just
what got me.
You know? It's just a fun movie. Willem Dafoe is excellent in it. I mean,
when he dresses as a woman and he's doing the conduction and he's like explaining what happened.
Oh, yeah. It's really coolly shot. It's a really cool film.
I won't even repeat one of my favorite lines in that movie.
Now you have me curious.
Nah, I'm not going to say it.
You're going to have me cursing left and right on the damn show today.
I'm not going to say it. I'm being PC here.
So the Boondock Saints, you can meet the cast at Compalooza 2016. There's some comic book people there, too. Before Adam Kubert, of course, one of the Kubert brothers, and Joe Kubert, his dad, was at Compalooza a few years ago before he passed away. And I talked to Joe a few minutes. It was before we were doing the show, so I wasn't doing interviews. I just said hi, and I thanked him for being at Compalooza. I kind of did as a member of the staff. And so Adam Kubert, big artist. I wish his brother Andy was there, too, because I have more of his stuff, because Andy did a lot of Batman, a lot of stuff like that that I have books of, and I would take him to get him signed. I got to dig through my stuff and see if I have any of Adam's stuff. John Ostrander, very famous comic writer, is there. Matt Hawkins and Top Cow Comics, they were there last year. They were the first publisher to ever come to Compalooza. They're going to be there again. So we'll have Top Cow Comics there. And Bernie Wrightson, who the creator of Swamp Thing, he'll be there. He was there a couple of years ago, and I got some books signed by him. Really nice guy, too.
You think Walter Simonson will be there again?
Walter's not back there this year.
Oh,
yeah,
man. I liked him.
And I know, and I never made it over to his table. We interviewed him. Walter was so cool.
Yeah.
A legend, absolute legend in the comics. Go back and listen to our Compalooza follow-up episode last year where we interviewed Walter. Great interview. Really nice guy. He did a promo for us, and I kept meaning to go over to his table and say hi and maybe buy a print or something from him. I just never made it over there. And really good guy, really active on social media. For an older guy, you know, because he joked about that in an interview about social media, and he'll retweet stuff. He'll talk to you online. He's a really cool guy. But no Walter Simonson this year. And that is one thing where I feel comic books is lacking a little bit this year. I wish they had more comic book people. It just feels like not as much this year. They spent so much on the big celebrities that it feels like they stepped back to comic book people. I mean, you got some good names. Don't get me wrong. Adam Kubert, John Ostrander, some big names.
Yeah.
But I just wish there was a few more, you know.
But hopefully the stars that they brought in this year will bring enough people that they'll have the budget to bring more big people and the artists.
Well, yeah, it's any con. It grows every year. You know, it gets bigger and bigger. Any other things at Compalooza? Two things. And people don't know Compalooza has rollerblading, it has gaming, it has video games, it has
wrestling,
tons of panels going on constantly. Oh, wrestlers,
Roller Derby.
Ric Flair is going to be there. Who else from wrestlers? There's a few more wrestlers, aren't there?
Arn Anderson's joining.
Anderson.
So, if you're a Four Horsemen fan, you're getting at least two out of four.
A couple years ago, I had Kevin Nash there, you know, so there's always big wrestling names at Compalooza. I literally 2 years ago ran into Booker T coming around the corner. Yeah. I ran into him. He called me. Oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm like, oh, it's Booker T. I was like,
he called you a sucker.
And I go, and that's how I got the promo that we have on the show. I go, hey, Booker, do you mind cutting a quick promo for me?
Can we stop talking about this?
Yeah, because Frank is sad that he didn't get to meet Booker T.
Like, literally, I left.
That's okay, man.
I had to go to work.
You have the greatest Compalooza moment.
My grocery manager was a jerk at the time.
You have the greatest Compalooza moment ever, dude. You brought Machete to our buddy Martin Asso's table, and he didn't slice your freaking balls off.
Yeah, but your wife upstaged us by photobombing.
Dude, her and Mike Stovall photobombed Machete and lived to tell about it.
Yeah.
Dude,
that's even better.
That was one of the best Compalooza moments ever, though, man. Mark loves to tell this story. He goes, it was like out of a movie. It was like slow motion. There comes the biscuit walking along, like, with that stride to step and Machete by his side.
He's saying that he'll do an original piece of artwork for me, and he has still not done
that
yet.
Well, you know, Mark, he's our boy.
Oh, well.
But Danny Trejo, man, 2 years.
It was still cool, though.
Yeah, sitting up on the wall right over here, back where we record, is my Danny Trejo signed print that Mark drew and Danny signed. It's one of my absolute favorite pieces in the house. If the house something happened to it, I'd probably grab that and run. Well, I'll get the kids first. But, you know,
Michael get the artwork, yeah. And then you'll grab Michael.
You know, but, so some great Compalooza moments. And that gives me a name. Matt, this is only your second Compalooza. Last year was kind of, you didn't, there as much. You haven't had that moment yet.
Well, maybe you'll get it. Weenied out out of most of it, let's be honest.
I had to take...
We got talked into taking the evil Dr. Tran home, and, Matt doesn't say no to anybody.
I don't.
Matt could have been like, no, I'm going to stay, because Long could have gotten right. He was going to get right home with his friend or something.
But he was annoyed that he couldn't find him, I think. And I probably could have been like, hey, can you just wait for your friend? Because it would have been cool to stay late Saturday. Sunday, I brought the wife and the kid, and, kids having a short attention span.
I was like, Matt's here. And then it was like, Matt's gone. That's how quick it was.
Yeah, Sunday.
I didn't even see your wife or your kid.
It was
anything.
Only for like 2 hours, I think, we were there.
Really? I didn't think it was 2 hours.
It was kind of short.
So maybe you'll get that moment this year, that big con moment, And then, of course, a big moment for us last year was the show was only a year old last year. We did our first ever live show. We had never done that before. We did it from the show floor. This year, we're recording Saturday morning at 11, another live show, and hopefully we'll do a little better this year. I think we know what we're doing.
Well, it was cool. We got the audience involved,
Yeah.
We had the guy in the Sweet Joker cosplay come over. He was pretty cool. And we got a good interview out of him.
And remember the really hot Star Trek chick that walked by like three times?
Yes.
And it kept distracting Long, but she was like really hot. And she kept walking by. It's like, would you stop walking by the table? You're distracting our co-host. Or come over to the table and talk to us, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking forward to that. Live show, 11 o'clock Saturday morning. So Compalooza 2016. And the big thing is the Aliens cast is going to be there. So... we're going to talk a little bit about aliens here, movies that have aliens in it, and the alien sagas in general. For me, and Frank, I know too, along with Star Wars, the Alien franchise was one of those franchises that shaped us growing up as far as our love for science fiction and the things we grew. Matt being a little bit older, he came along a little bit later. The franchise was almost done in theaters by the time you got to them.
Yeah, Alien 3 was out.
And I think a lot of us, especially me and Frank's age, I remember seeing Aliens first. Because I was 10 when it came out. It was the more popular one. And so then I went back and watched Alien. I remember when I was a kid, I felt Alien was kind of boring after watching Aliens. Because it's slower. It's more of a suspense film. And
it's actually done quite different.
Yeah.
In a sense.
You watch it now, you totally appreciate it. You realize how good it is. And it's still, I think everyone universally agrees Aliens is the best of the saga.
Yeah.
Alien 3, I recently rewatched Alien 3. Not as bad as people think it is. It's got some really good moments. We won't talk much about Alien Resurrection. Even Sigourney Weaver has admitted that it's a train wreck. And then they are bringing back the Alien franchise now. I thought Prometheus was excellent. I know a lot of people thought it was overblown, didn't quite understand it. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoy Prometheus.
Is it Prometheus 2 coming out?
Yeah, well, they're calling it Alien Covenant.
Okay.
Yeah, and they are doing a sequel to Prometheus called Alien Covenant. It's filming right now. It should be out. It's being out next year. And I thought Prometheus was really good. I don't know why people thought it wasn't. I think people were expecting it to be an alien movie, and it wasn't. It just simply tied into the alien universe. Of course, a little alien appears at the end of the film, but I really enjoyed the heck out of Prometheus. Mm-hmm. I like thinking man science fiction like that sometimes, as long as it's not overthinking. Like 2001, no thanks. I can... That kind of science fiction, the philosophical kind, no. But Prometheus, where it makes you challenges the universe and challenges the ideas of science fiction, that I like. And it mixes in a little bit of action in it, you know? And I really liked it a lot. I
liked it because it was different.
Yeah, it was different. And it really well shot film, a beautiful looking film. But Aliens, it is the 30th anniversary this year. The film still is probably among Cameron's best work. I know a lot of people talk about Titanic and Avatar, but I think Aliens is the best film he's done. You know, would y'all agree?
I'd say The Terminator.
I think Aliens, Terminator 2 and Aliens maybe are neck and neck.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say.
Terminator 2, definitely. Yeah. Is
the Terminator is his best creation, because he created that. Aliens was already created.
Actually, I like the C one he did.
The sea one.
The Abyss.
Oh.
Well, yeah, I mean, no.
I like The Abyss.
It's hard. Well, no.
But there's two versions of The Abyss. There was the butchered theatrical version.
There's two versions of Aliens,
too. You didn't get the whole alien thing. They cut out the whole alien stuff, so it made no sense. You have to get the extended version where it's a little bit longer and everything. But I like it because that's where he got the the water scene in there.
Mm-hmm.
Is where he actually got the idea to use for the liquid Terminator.
The thing with Cameron is he's such an amazing director. It's hard to say what is his best. Everyone has their favorite. I like The Abyss a lot, too. I know, like, Matt, you're being an Arnold fan. I know you like True Lies and Terminator a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very subjective because Cameron's films are that good. He is probably our top three of all time with Spielberg and... I don't know. Who else would you even put in that? It's hard to say. Lucas is a great imaginative person, but as a director, I'd say Scorsese, Scoops. Would y'all agree? Scorsese, Spielberg, and Cameron, top three easily of our generation. There's no three better directors. You know, those three guys, just everything they touch is absolutely fucking amazing. I mean, Spielberg's made a couple of Dogs, but even Spielberg's Dogs are pretty good.
Is it too late to put Christopher Nolan in there?
I think... Good Nolan. I think the younger directors, Nolan, J.J. Abrams.
Yes.
They're getting there.
The guy who did Gravity and Birdman and all that, even though I haven't seen Birdman yet, and The Revenant, he has a hard name to say. I think he's getting there. You know, yes, he makes more adult films, but he's still a great director. The guy I want to see more from is the guy who made Children of Men. I thought his directing style, I'd like to see him do more films. So they're getting there. I mean, the guy did Birdman and Gravity and what he went for this year. Well, he made The Revenant. He didn't win Best Picture.
No.
But he's already won a couple of Oscars for directing and picture. The guy's on his way. You know, so I think those guys are going to be the next wave. You know, him, J.J. Abrams, and Nolan. And they're not far behind. You know, but they're still, I think they still need more of a body of work. You know, because they're still right behind them. But James Cameron, Aliens, so it's kind of cool. We have them all there. Lance Henriksen had to cancel, you know, for other things. We don't have Bishop there. But we've got everyone else. We've got Sigourney Weaver. We have Colonel Hicks, Michael Biehn. We have Bill Paxton. Bill fucking Paxton,
no
dude.
No kidding, right?
Is that awesome?
I'm going to get him to sign my Twister
DVD. Dude, Bill It's a suck zone, man. Well, that was Phil Seymour Hoffman's character. But Paxton... the lady who played Vasquez, the girl who played Newt, she's all grown up now. Just amazing to have them all in one place. And we're definitely going to that panel Saturday. I think it's Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock. I have to look on the schedule again. So don't quote me on that. But really cool. So Aliens, y'all's favorite out of this franchise too.
You know?
Then they made those Alien vs. Predator movies, which had so much potential, but they just...
Killed him?
What was Fox thinking, man? You know, it's like... You have two huge franchises there. You could have made two absolutely spectacular films.
They went PG.
Well, no, the second one was R, and the first one was PG-13. I don't even think that's what it is. I don't think you got a scriptwriter and director that understood how to do it right. You know, it was more the.
Trust me, if I could direct an Aliens with Predator in it, it would be one of the baddest, sickest.
Here's the thing, though. Dark Horse Comics did a great Alien vs. Predator comic book. So you had the script right there. Mm-hmm. Just do it like the comic. The comic was great. It would have been perfect, you know? But they had to go and do their own thing.
But you know what I remember the most about Aliens? And y'all have heard this story before. Is that when it came out, there used to be a drive-in theater off of 45.
This story again? Knows
where Fry's Electronics is. There was a drive-in theater there. And when they first started showing that film, they had it on the screen that pointed to the freeway.
Oh.
And
Frank stood in his backyard and watched Aliens and sipped his tea.
And when people drive by, and the aliens like popping out, they had kids in their cars. They were complaining that their kids were having nightmares. So I thought that was funny.
The original Alien apparently gave a lot of people nightmares when it first came out, you know? And we look at that now, and it's kind of, yeah. But, you know, I guess back then it was pretty scary.
You're talking about E.T., the original?
No, the original Alien film. Speaking of E.T., what Alien movies, what are some of y'all's favorite movies that feature aliens? Or an alien character, or an alien robot, or whatever?
Holy shit. Star Wars. Boom, wiped out, everything done. No, just kidding.
I mean, I have a small list.
Man of Steel.
No comic books. Like recently, I really like Super 8. Talking about J.J. Abrams.
Oh man, yeah.
I really enjoyed the hell out of Super 8. I thought it was a good alien film. A lot of fun. It kind of brought me back to those early days of movies. You know, kind of like Spielberg used to make.
Guilty pleasure here. Mars Attacks.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. Yeah. You know what's funny is when that came out, I hated it. Yeah. I was like, God, I didn't understand it right. Then I went and rewatched it, and I realized what Tim Burton was trying to do.
Yeah.
He was trying to capture the old 1950s schlock films, kind of ridiculous alien films, and people didn't get it. But it's so ridiculously fun when you watch it now. You start to understand why it's such a fun movie.
For me, right now, when it comes to alien movies, I'm sure there's probably others that I could think of once I sit down and think of it, but right off the top of my head, I would say my top three. Number one is probably the classic.
Drop the bomb.
Drum roll. I've never heard a movie called
War of the Worlds.
There you go.
Original. Yeah.
Second one, The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Ooh, yeah.
Klaatu, Parada.
And one that makes me still tear up, E.T.
See, I don't like E.T.
I do. I love E.T.
It's okay, but...
Yeah.
I think
Spielberg... But I look at it... When I watch it, I still watch it as a kid.
When it comes to Spielberg's alien movies, Close Encounters of the Third Kind is better.
Oh, yeah.
That's such a great movie.
Okay. Rewind. Number one, Close Encounters. I forget.
Yeah, that one scared me as list.
A crap when I was a kid. That whole scene where the kid... And all the toys are coming out. When I was a kid, that scared me.
Frank's like, my toys are going to come alive and eat my penis.
Like I said, I could think of others. But yeah, I rewind that. Yeah, that Close Encounters was my number one. And then the others fall in that suit. Because I still love it when he's like throwing all the stuff into his house to make the mountains.
I thought a movie that kind of maybe came out before its time, kind of challenged our thinking, was Alien Nation. Mm. Like, what if they lived among us and we had to work with them every day?
That's one of my favorite TV series.
James Caan was excellent in the movie. You know, that's a good film. You know, this is recent because we have a sequel coming out, Independence Day. Yeah, maybe it's not the greatest film, but it's fun. You know, and it came out 20 years ago. We're fixing to get the sequel. And for an alien movie, it's a fun movie.
So are they going to draw people in to see this one like they did the first one? Throw a Star Wars trailer in front of it?
Yeah, I did. You know, it's funny. I did think about it. I remember they had the special edition Star Wars trailer in front of it back in '96. Mm-hmm. It was your first look at how they changed the Star Wars saga with the added things. But so Independence Day, I also have my list Transformers. You know, it's an alien movie. It's got alien robots.
Wait, are we talking the cartoon or the
Transformers in general? The cartoon or the movie? You know, cause I would say more the Michael Bay film because it is about robots coming to our planet. The animated film was already established universe. Right. It could be considered a favorite alien movie because even if people hate Michael Bay, the first film is still kind of good, you know.
Yeah, and come on, let's admit it. We all got a little tingly when we heard
Peter Cullen speak for the first time as Optimus.
And then the whole Transformers, like, know, transforming and stuff.
Yeah. You know, any other alien films y'all can think of that feature aliens?
Starship Troopers. Is that an alien?
Yeah, but it's just not very good film. It's okay.
It's kind of like StarCraft.
Yeah. It's an alien movie.
Denise Richards.
You know.
That one guy that looks like Dolph Lundgren.
You know what I liked about it?
What?
Boobs.
It does have.
Yes.
It does have a lot of.
I like the communal shower scenes. Yes. Those were pretty good.
And then Starship Troopers 3, he's like doing it with a bunch of chicks when he's a colonel.
I never even saw a third one. It looked terrible.
I didn't know there was a third one.
There was a second one, too. I saw the second one.
I was like,
and it was bad. Yeah. Ah, man. Yeah, I had to read that book in high school. And it's so different than the film. The book is very political about are alien invasions right and all this and or whatever it was about, you know.
And basically look at what we do.
If you've ever read a Robert Heinlein book, they're the most difficult fucking things in the world to read.
We're missing a good Harrison Ford movie. Well, he's not the main star, but one of the best books I've ever read, Ender's Game.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
That was actually a good movie.
I enjoyed the film. Yeah. It was really good. I read Ender's Game. That was good. It's years ago. I read it, so I couldn't really compare the book to the movie because it's been so long since I read it. Mm-hmm. But I did enjoy the film.
You know, like after all these other movies that came out at the time, I was just waiting for like, you know, four more sequels to it.
Well, there are more books.
There are more books, but I guess the film didn't do well enough, so we may never get a sequel, which is a shame because it's a good franchise. It could have been a good franchise.
It really could have been. They got it pretty spot on.
I'm trying any other alien films.
Man, there are so many.
There's been a lot.
It's like
Mimic.
What is it? Pitch Black.
Yeah. I guess it's a sci-fi film. They go to alien planet. So yeah.
What was that one that came out recently?
Fifth Wave?
That little character that looks like an owl or whatever, and they try to save, you know, send it, get it back home, and it builds like an alien ship or whatever. Like, you know, the kids are driving, and then, like, it separates
the movie?
It separates the diesel into pieces so it doesn't crash into them and puts it back together.
An owl? I don't remember an owl.
Yeah, some little weird-looking thing that looks like an owl or whatever.
I'm going to have to... You know, what actor did you see in it?
It was a bunch of kids. A
bunch of kids?
Yeah, so I don't know what that was. Somebody will probably know what I'm talking about from just me describing it. Taking the diesel apart. But anyway, let's move on.
I don't know. Since
I can't think of the name.
So that was some of our favorite alien movies.
Echo.
I mean,
was Echo?
Echo
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I never heard of it.
Mm.
Echo.
Echo.
Frank's watching the Disney Channel at night, like, oh, look at this cool little kid movie. You know, but people are fascinated with aliens and alien films, and whether we're alone in the universe or not. And I think we're going to continue to get movies about aliens because it's science fiction. That's what we go to the movies for. We want to escape. We want to go to different worlds and different universes. And one film franchise that we completely forgot to mention is Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Star Trek is the original science fiction series that brought us new worlds and aliens, Captain Kirk kissing green aliens or whatever, you know, the Klingons, the Gorn, the Tribbles, the Romulans, you know, I mean, how could we not talk? I mean, Frank mentioned, tried to be funny and say Star Wars right away to blow things away, but Star Trek is the first. We can go back further than that. Flash Gordon.
The old
Flash Gordon TV series where he goes to meet the serials. Where he, I said TV series, but you're right, Frank. I meant serials. Where he goes to Ming's world. What's his world called? Man, Mongo. He goes to the world Mongo, and you know, Flash Gordon. So aliens and alien planets and creatures have been a part of film since it started in the early 1900s, you know, and it's not going to go anywhere. We have more coming. This year we have Independence Day. You know, next year I'm sure it'll be something with aliens. We have Star Wars coming out. That is aliens. Star Trek comes out this July. Who knows what else the rest of the year? There's some movie that looked absolutely awful when I went and saw X-Men called Monster Trucks, where these aliens. Alien, I mean, I understand it's
for
geared.
Kids.
I understand it's geared towards kids, but my God, that was a terrible trailer. You know, it's just like, and it's got the kid from X-Men in it. And I guess this kid's gonna be the hot new thing because he's from X-Men and now he's in this Monster Trucks and he's also playing MacGyver, the new MacGyver TV series.
Who?
The kid that's in that trailer, he's the one who played Havoc.
Oh, Havoc.
And he's playing MacGyver in the new MacGyver TV series,
really?
Which actually doesn't look that bad.
But do we really need it?
We don't need it, but I watched the trailer, and I'm like, wow, you know, this doesn't look that bad.
Here's my problem with it. Okay, back when MacGyver came out, MacGyver just had all this stuff in his head. Now the modern day MacGyver just looks like he would be this kid that looks up everything on his phone
You watch the trailer, okay? You haven't seen the trailer. They allude in the trailer that this could be his son, so he was able to teach his son those things. They kind of allude that. They don't officially reveal it.
But my thing is just the way kids are nowadays, that's just not an atypical kid. Now they just look everything up on their phone.
That's why if it's his son, that's a smart way to do it. It could be like, okay, he passed it down to his son so he learns these things.
But, you know,
without looking up on his phone.
My attitude is these kids nowadays, why learn anything when you can just look it up on your phone?
It really doesn't look that bad. It really doesn't. You know, it's like
phones are meant for looking up cat videos. Okay.
Where computers were meant to look up porn.
Cats and cucumbers. You see those cat? Never mind. No, we won't.
My wife tried that. My cats looked at the cucumber like, okay. What am I supposed to thing up before it starts vibrating?
Am I supposed to eat? Oh, dang.
Oh. Boom goes the podcast.
Boom.
It's a willy.
Oh. Now, speaking of the kid in X-Men, Matt, you haven't seen it yet. So that's all we got on alien movies. So we're going to move into mutants. X-Men.
Are we allowed to say mutants? Isn't that a trademark?
We can say mutants. Okay. We're not making any money off this. So X-Men Apocalypse and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows are in theaters. Me and Frank have seen both.
I like Turtles more.
Matt's been slacking.
I like Turtles. Yeah.
Well, I think they're different movies. I think you could say one's more enjoyable. I think X-Men Apocalypse is a better movie than Ninja Turtles because Ninja Turtles is what it is. It's for kids. It's fun. It's nostalgic. But it's not a better movie. It's just a fun movie. So, yes, it's okay to say that you enjoy it more. But even if you didn't like X-Men Apocalypse as much as – it's not as good as Days of Future Past or First Class. It's kind of middle of the road X-Men. It's right around the same level as Wolverine and Deadpool. It's kind of in the middle. You know, there are some people that think it's really good. It's kind of one of those movies that people are seeing X-Men two different ways. I've seen people think it's better than Civil War. They saw something I didn't see in it.
They went high or drunk.
Well, no, there's some people that like that deeper level of thinking and what Apocalypse was trying to accomplish and put it all together. So who knows? I didn't think it was a bad X-Men film. It's much better than X-Men 3, much better than Wolverine Origins. It's still really good. It's probably better than the original X-Men film because of higher budget.
Yeah.
Just the villain's kind of boring. Apocalypse just walks around like, oh, my children, and we're going to destroy the world. And he doesn't really seem that interested in what he's doing at times. He's just kind of like, okay, I'm doing this because I'm evil. You know? Why do you want to destroy the world and start over? Why? Because you think mutants are a superior race? Okay. You know, it's just kind of like... I mean, not the, Oscar Isaac is fine as Apocalypse. He did a good job. Mm-hmm. The most interesting parts of the film are Magneto's story. That I won't spoil because it deserves to be seen because his story in it is great. You know, the way they humanized Magneto to such a level that you felt sorry for him, didn't you?
Yeah.
You know, and that part was great. The cast is fantastic. I'll give the cast a lot of credit. McAvoy, Jennifer Lawrence, everyone is really good in their roles. Everyone knows Wolverine cameos in the film. I won't spoil the cameo, but it's really awesome. If you're a longtime Wolverine fan, you'll love the 5 minutes of it. You're like, that's badass. What else?
They had Psylocke in there, and, you know, there was like a couple, she only had a couple of lines.
Yeah, she was really cool. Olivia Munn's totally hot in the role, but I wanted more of her.
I was more impressed by the girl who played Storm.
Yeah, I wanted more Psylocke, I agree. The action scenes were great. The CGI was great. So there's a lot. It's not bad. It was just kind of an uninteresting plot, is what I would say. But it had its moments in it.
And,
you know?
And still, just like the last X-Men movie, once again, the character that stole the whole movie, Quicksilver. He should have his own movie. I'm sorry. Well, yeah, it was more of the same from the last one. But his character is just so much fun.
It's cool.
That I'd rather just him have his own movie.
I felt the scene was a little long. I was like, it's a cool scene, but I'm like, okay, let's get on with it.
But it's a fun scene. I like his character.
Yeah, but I don't think he's a strong enough character to carry his whole film.
Well,
it
could be like a Deadpool film.
Or if they spin him off into X-Force or something like that, maybe, you know, and he's kind of a leader of X-Force.
But you know what? You know what I find funny and interesting is that, like, Marvel Studios and 20th Century Fox kind of sat down and said, okay, you get to keep Quicksilver, you get to keep Scarlet Witch, we'll kill that one off in our movie, and we'll kill the other one off in our movie.
They killed off both kick-ass actors.
The girl had to be Scarlet Witch that got killed, his daughter.
Magneto's?
Yeah. That had to be her.
But you just, I just said I was going to spoil it, and then you spoiled it.
Well, sorry. If you ain't seen it by now, too bad.
Well, maybe. I don't know. It's possible, I guess.
That was her.
I didn't think about that when I was seeing it, you know.
He has a daughter and a son. And but, what's funny is they both get killed. The other one gets killed.
I've had a few
movie,
friends
so
at work.
Like,
ask,
you take this one, I'll take that one.
I had a few friends at work to ask me, like, oh, the critics don't like it. I do think that X-Men is a movie that I think coming out after Civil War, I think critics are just as guilty as we are of getting a little jaded with films. And I think they watched X-Men. They were just like, yeah, you know, they didn't like it. It's not as bad. It's not as bad as critics made out to be. It's much better than what any critic said. And I think most fans are in agreement with that with X-Men. Most fans are liking it enough. And most fans also think it's not as good as Future Past or First Class, the last couple X-Men films. But it's worth seeing. If you're an X-Men fan, see it. It is definitely a big screen film with all the action in it, especially the nuclear weapon scene. It's made to see on the big screen. You know, it's exciting. That's a really cool moment in the film. So if you haven't seen X-Men Apocalypse, go check it out. Matt, I know you'll see it here soon.
Oh, yeah.
And Ninja Turtles. Everyone wants to knock Ninja Turtles being produced by Michael Bay. And people, if I had a dime for every time someone told me Michael Bay ruined their childhood, I'd be rich by now. Michael Bay didn't do shit to your childhood. All right, how old are you? 36. When were you a kid? Back in the 80s. Okay, your childhood's over, dude. No one ruined it.
No kidding, right? Go back to what you liked. Enjoy that. This is something different.
There are certain types of films, I think, that we can be very judgmental on. We can be judgmental on the comic book films that come out, the science fiction films. Then there's movies you just go and you watch and enjoy. And Ninja Turtles is one of those. Could I sit there and pick the film apart? Absolutely. If you pick the film apart, it's a C film. It's terrible. It sucks, but honestly, it's fun as hell.
It's a popcorn film that you sit down and enjoy.
Seeing Krang on the big screen was awesome.
They actually did a really good
job. I wish they would have done a little more with Shredder in this one. That was one part of disappointing. Bebop and Rocksteady, cool as shit.
Yeah.
Everyone thought, oh, they're too dorky. Have you ever watched the 80s cartoon? That's how they were. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really cool. I felt the dynamic of the Turtles was better in this one. Leo coming on his own as a leader. I thought them working as a team was fantastic. I'm glad they added. I felt that the humor from Splinter always had a little humor, and it was kind of missing in the first one. They gave They gave Splinter a little bit of humor in this one.
I like the fact that, you know, the human aspect of where they just want to be accepted to the point that they were willing to change their DNA.
I like the fact they backed Will Arnett off a little bit. I like Will Arnett, but it was a little too much of him in the first film.
They backed off.
Here's why. He's one of those comedians that's so strong, he takes away from a film. He can be too much of him.
Yeah.
And I like the fact they backed him off some of this
one. I think
they
weren't sure in the first one how it was going to go over, so that's why they relied on him a lot.
I like him. Don't get me wrong, but I think he can be a little bit... He's like Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey can very much steal a scene because he's a strong comedian. And I think Will Arnett's like that, and I'm glad they backed off of him a little bit. Megan Fox in a schoolgirl outfit.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, that makes the movie better for me. I don't care if people think that she's a bad actress. I adore Megan Fox. Always have. I think she's hot. I don't care if people don't think she's hot. I like her. And she was in a schoolgirl outfit. I will love the movie forever for that. And wife's not here on recordings, but she knows. She probably like, oh, you're so bad. Yeah,
we're picking out a movie to watch.
So right now, out of the two films, two hottest scenes... Megan Fox schoolgirl outfit, Olivia Munn as
Psylocke.
Two best costumes.
What were you going to say, Matt?
We're trying to pick a movie to watch last night, and This Is 40 came across the screen, and I was like...
Oh, the brawl scene?
Yeah, I wanted to see This Is 40.
You never seen it before?
No, I've seen it before. Yeah. That's why I wanted to watch it, because Megan Fox.
Yeah.
And Paul Rudd walks underneath the ladder. He's like, I don't think she's wearing any panties. And she's like, no, she is. I'm like, okay, well, are there panties with a picture of a vagina on it?
So, what's next in movies? I mean, Warcraft's out this weekend. I can wait for that video. I know Finding Dory's big one, but it comes out next week in Compalooza. I'm sure Mary wants to take Michael to see it. I'll let her take him. I can wait for it on video. No big deal for me on Finding Dory. Independence Day, I guess that's the next big one. And Legend of Tarzan looks really cool. I kind of want to see that.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, it's like, man, that looks really cool. And Independence Day, other than that, as far as genre films, I think that's it until... I'm not going to see Ghostbusters. I know people will. Ghostbusters, Star Trek, and Jason Bourne all in July.
You know? Dan Aykroyd endorsed it.
Yeah, well, Dan Aykroyd endorses his own underwear, okay? Aykroyd.
At Cinemark's, this Sunday and most likely Wednesday, because that's when they follow it up, you're actually getting the original Ghostbusters.
Yeah, they're doing that. And on my side project, Duel of the Nerds, I guess I can tell people, it's basically me and Long, we're going to take topics and we're going to duel it out on what we think is best. It's like, it could be two reboot films, like RoboCop 84-7 versus RoboCop 14. Just different topics like that. And we are probably going to do a Ghostbusters episode. I'm going to let Long do a new Ghostbusters because I'm probably not going to, I'm honestly just not going to go see it. I don't care about it. It has nothing to do with being women in or nothing. I just don't see the point in the film at all. So, you know, that's what's coming later this summer. And our next show is going to be live from the Comp-Palooza floor. We are going to be talking about our favorite films so far in 2016 and what we're looking forward to the rest of the year, along with whatever else happens at Comp-Palooza 2016.
Yeah.
And so we're looking forward to bringing that to you. Anything else? We got TV. There's nothing going on TV. It's summertime.
Yeah,
you know?
Not really.
Yeah, I did watch the first episode of Preacher. You know, new comic book film.
I heard
show.
That's good.
It's interesting. It's kind of a dark comedy. I'm not sure what to make of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. Dominic Cooper, who plays Preacher, is going to be at Comp-Palooza.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah.
It's good. I'm going to keep watching it. I just haven't had a chance to sit down and watch the second episode yet. Very violent, you know, for a TV show. I mean, it's almost HBO-level violence. I mean, wow. You think The Walking Dead's violent. Preacher was like, wow, they got away with this on TV. You know? So, but very cool. That's about it as far as TV going right now. I'll wait until the fall comes when Flash and Walking Dead and everything comes back. You know, right now it's kind of slow. It's movie time.
Movie time.
You know?
Yeah, this is movie time of the year.
Yeah, so go to TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. That is where you will find the Rebel Radio Podcast. And follow us on Facebook, Twitter. And if you have a chance, if you listen to us on iTunes, if you're listening on your phone or whatever, take a moment to leave us a 5-star review on there. We'd really appreciate that. Just a quick little line like Rebel Radio Rules or whatever. That would be really, really grateful if you could do that for us if you're listening on iTunes. Or if you're on Android and you're listening to us on Stitcher, same thing. Leave us a 5. I don't think we have any reviews on Stitcher. No one's left us a review on there. But
maybe they
don't
listen to us on
Well, Stitcher's still kind of new. I think people are still kind of finding it.
Mm-hmm.
We're also on the Tangent Bound PC network, and we're also on the Houston Nerdcasting network. Speaking of, I will be on a panel Friday night at 7 o'clock, the Houston Nerdcasting panel for the group of podcasters who are on that panel. I have no idea what we're talking about. I'm just going to be there Friday night at Comp-Palooza,
like
7 o'clock. I'll be there. There was a question of the week for that, but I don't even know where the questions are right now. We'll answer it on the live show, maybe. We'll do our Houston Nerdcasting Collective question. But that's it. See you guys at Comp-Palooza this weekend. Look for Rebel Radio. We'll be handing out flyers or whatever for the show, doing our live show at 11 o'clock. Until we see you live from Comp-Palooza 2016, this has been
Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit.
This is Mark. Thank you for listening, as always. Cowabunga, dudes.
This is James O'Barr on Rebel Radio. Thanks for listening.
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse, Snooch to the Nooch. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com. Go there and do it. ¶¶